Hey everyone, my name is Noble and thanks for checking out the message today. We are so glad that you're here with us and we would love to connect with you and your family. The easiest way is to text River Connect to 97000. There we can answer any questions you have and even pray for you. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we do here as a church. Finally, if you would love to support all that we are doing here for the gospel at the River Church, you can help out financially. You can head to the website and click the tab at the top of the page, or you can text an amount to 84321. Again, so grateful for you joining us today and truly hope you're blessed by the message.
Amen. And so we are pumped about continuing in our Romans series this morning. But before I do that, I want to invite you out Saturday, and so, or invite you out to be praying for us Saturday. And so this Saturday, Pastor Noble shared it a few weeks ago, we are doing a backpack block party. I'll get that out. And so we have taken over part of Holly Foods parking lot, and so we're going to take some inflatables down there, and we're handing out backpacks as well as supplies to families that need backpacks and supplies. And so we're so excited about that. And so Rodney will be there as well, and we're sharing the gospel, and it's just going to be a great, great time. And so I want to invite you out. You want to come hang out. They're doing hot dogs as well. And so Pastor Noble's been saying, I'm going to go eat as many hot dogs in a minute. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And so, no, we're excited about that. And so I want to invite you out. And so, but be praying for that. And so it's our first time doing this event and seeing, okay, what will happen? What's the details? We're partnering with First Baptist of Holly as well. Super excited about partnering with them. They are brothers and sisters in Christ, proclaim the good news of the gospel. And so we want to get together with them arm in arm and see how God can just do a great work. And so be praying for all of those that are going to be there. We pray that the Lord turns the temperature down a little bit, okay? And so Saturday, I think it's supposed to be 91. And so we're like in a parking lot at 91. That's not awesome. And so I'll take about 78, right? 78. I don't know what your temperature is, but that's good. And so I told Pastor Ryan before he came out, I was like, man, share a little bit about camp. It's so exciting to just the formative years of seeing not just children receive Christ, teenagers, as well as I've talked to some of the leaders. They're like, man, that was just an invigorating, exciting week that God is doing some great things. And so we want to just utilize that to see what God's going to do as we launch. I know this is terrible to say out loud in the middle of August, in the fall, okay? All right. Maybe some of you guys are ready for fall. I'm not quite ready for it, but that's okay. If you have a Bible, a device, something to follow along, read along, we're going to be in Romans chapter 8. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, we are going to be using the whole month of August looking at Romans chapter 8, looking at the entirety of the chapter, looking really as the Apostle Paul comes to not necessarily a fork in the road, but really a culmination point of in chapter 7 saying, you know, you've been called to live for Christ. You have an interior battle that is just fighting between your flesh and your spirit, living that out and trying to follow the Lord. I shared a few weeks ago, it's been great with some conversations of that tussle that's happening, not just in your life, in my life, in all of our lives, in the flesh and the spirit, and wondering, why do I do the things that I hate? And I just get so upset. My desire is to honor the Lord, and yet I continue to stumble. Why? Well, we have narrowed in and pointed towards that cross point to go. It is clearly our flesh. And so that flesh and spirit battle. And at the end of Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul says, how do I do this? But thanks be to God, our Father. The only way we're able to do that is God the Father. That's the way we're able to follow him. And he's given us a tool. And all through chapter 8, he highlights, and I don't want to demean the Holy Spirit as simply as a tool, but it's a tool and a guide. And we're going to talk a little bit about the characteristics and the details of what the Holy Spirit plays in our lives this morning. But I've loved preaching through Romans It's been just a stretching. I've told some of you that over the last few weeks. It's stretching. It's as we deep dive some deep theological, doctrinal shaping things, but also talking about, for many of us, the basics. Looking at saved by grace alone. That's a solid foundational basic that we all have to understand, that we can earn our way to a relationship with God. It's realizing that we are all sinners. Realizing that this idea, this incredible idea, concept of grace is so awesome. I saw this quote this week. It says, Christian maturity is not about arriving at the point where you no longer need grace, but a deeper sense of need for an appreciation of the grace you've been given. I love that. It's like, oh, I have graduated. I don't need the grace of God anymore. Well, that is not true. I think as we grow and as we are sanctified, you grow in more in love with the grace of God and realize, wow, I need it way more than I even want to talk about or communicate. And that's, I love that quote because it just has kind of culminated really as we preach through this series on Romans. We're going to look at the verses 9 through 11 this morning. Start in verse 9, Paul continues. It says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If in the fact the spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's pray and we'll talk about this passage this morning. God, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, God. God, we honor you, we celebrate you, we praise you. God, this morning as we preach of the Holy Spirit, God, as we look at really you, three parts in one, God, as we try to seek to understand this idea of the Trinity and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God, we ask for wisdom, we ask for guidance. God, thank you for sending us a helper, an advocate, an intercessor, God, one that will lead and guide and teach us, God, but also convict and correct. God, thank you. May you lead and guide this morning. Guide my words. Help Caleb to get out of the way and help your word to speak. God, we pray for that. We love you. We honor you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I know as we talk through the person of the Holy Spirit, all of us come with some, I would say not preconceived notions, but some pre-ideas that maybe you grew up in a different denomination that talked through the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a Baptist denomination that it wasn't the Holy Spirit, it was the Holy Ghost. And so some of you nod and you're like, I know exactly what you're talking about. And so I preached in the Philippines about a month ago or so, and I would mention the Holy Spirit, and one of the guys said, no, we call him the Holy Ghost here, and I wondered what that confusion was, and so it just is an interesting idea and concept, but the Holy Ghost is fully God. I want you to understand that. That is so important that we grasp and understand that idea and concept. Paul here references the person of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to give us a little background and some basics for us to chew on as we really come to this passage together and understand, hopefully, what the Apostle Paul is really teaching or guiding not only the Christians in Rome, but also the Christians in Holly and those joining us online in 2025, okay? And so Jesus mentions the Holy Spirit. That's important for us to understand. Jesus foretells of the coming of the Holy Spirit. If you need a quick understanding of the Holy Spirit, you can flip to John 14. You don't have to do that now. But Jesus is foretelling of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He promises to send a helper, the Spirit of truth, who will be with believers forever. That's an important thing in John 14, 16 through 17. His disciples are, I wouldn't say arguing with Jesus, but they're arguing with Jesus. Jesus, you can't go. You need to stay with us forever. And Jesus is saying, no, I have to go. I am an ascend to the Father. I will be coming back as he proclaims and prophesies, but also tells them, hey, when I go, I will send a helper. Jesus also says he will send the Holy Spirit in his name. He will teach all things and bring remembrance to all things that Jesus has taught. That's an important aspect in understanding. There's some misconceptions and misnomers, and I will say some straight out heresy where they have said the Holy Spirit is going to contradict the words of Jesus. That is heretical. That is not in the Bible. We see the words of Jesus. The one that comes after me, he will illuminate. He will teach and he will remind all the things that I have already taught. And John 15, the Holy Spirit will testify about Jesus. John 16, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, judgment, and guide believers into all truth. All truth. That's a important understanding for us to come. John 16, the Spirit will declare to you what is to come. As well as John 7, Luke 11, describe the Holy Spirit as one that gives life. And so quickly, I know that's, you're like, you're not preaching in Romans 8. I'll get there. I just wanted to give us a little backdrop and understanding before we jumped into this, okay? Some of you are like, this is a good reminder. Some this is new for, and that's okay. I wanted to bring us all together as we truly seek to understand what is the Apostle Paul teaching. But before we get there, I want to give you some descriptions of the Holy Spirit or some attributes, if you will. The first is he's a comforter or helper. As I read John 14, and ones that will comfort. I love the Greek word describes here, one that comes to your side, that helps guide you in life. That is, you're not alone as you navigate in this world. It really gives a real good understanding where Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so understanding the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one, we can truly say the God of all creation, the God that created all things, the God of the universe, the God that made man out of the dust of the ground, the God that put Adam to sleep, that created Eve out of the side of Adam, the God that placed the sun, the moon, and the stars is literally, the very presence of God is with you as a believer. At all times. What's crazy is the Bible describes you as the temple of the Holy Ghost or the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's my Baptist. I told you I was going to come out. Right? And so you begin to see, okay, that the very presence of God is with you. One that comes to your side. You're never alone as a believer. One aspect or description of the Holy Spirit that many of us may like or may not like is he's described as the convictor. John 16 describes this as the Holy Spirit. The conviction is the Spirit of God bringing truth, creating judgment, and helping us as believers in this process of sanctification, becoming more like Christ, convicting. Where you're like, man, I feel that still small voice in my life. Man, you shouldn't have acted this way. You shouldn't have responded this way. You shouldn't have said that way. There's a pricking of our heart by the Holy Spirit as that conviction. I do want you to hear this from me on a Sunday morning very clearly. I pray for the conviction of God for us as a church always. You're like, really? Why do you? Because we all need it. Every single one of us. I don't care how old, how young, how many times you've been in church, or maybe today's your first time, and you're like, man, that word is a heavy word. No, I'm not, I'm not meaning to hit it with a sledgehammer. I'm more talking about you very clearly to myself. Like, God, I pray for your conviction in my life because I know every single day I struggle and fail, and I know I need that conviction in my life. The Bible says, who the Lord loves, he chastens or corrects. Or you want to place that word? Convicts. And so the convicting hand of the Holy Spirit is God's corrective way in our life. And I'm way more, I would like God's nice conviction than a sledgehammer over the head. But the truth of the matter is I sometimes need that over my head. All right, that's the truth. Hard-headed. I hope you're talking about yourself. No, I'm just kidding. And so the great thing about this is the Spirit is working in you. He's working in us. I love the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. He's telling him to show the people in Ephesus, show them your progress so they all can see it. That progress implies failure and struggle as the Holy Spirit shapes and molds each and every one of us, especially talking in 2 Timothy about Timothy, where the Holy Spirit convicting and guiding Timothy to be. He also, as Romans 8 describes, as an intercessor, one that speaks on our behalf. He's our advocate to God the Father, one that guides and leads. Or the guiding hand of God, guiding us to help make decisions. You're like, do you believe the Holy Spirit guides us to help make decisions in life? Yes. I believe that wholeheartedly. Where the guiding hand of God is like, hey, you know what? I want to be in your plan, your purpose, your will, where you are guiding. That is ultimately, and the truth of the matter is, that's the best place to be, is in the place where the Holy Spirit is guiding. This quote demeans a little bit, and so I don't necessarily love it, but it's, you'll understand it. The Holy Spirit is your spiritual GPS. He will tell you where to go and where you are going, right? He will guide you. Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We're going to talk a little bit about, actually, we're going to talk a lot about that next week, but that premise, that idea, really helps shape. Holy Spirit is our empowerer. 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 describes some of these gifts and ideas that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do. You can go all the way back to Genesis and you see the very Spirit of God empowering these men to build the tabernacle, empowering, giving the ideas to build the tools, to build the tools to then build the tabernacle. It's a great understanding where the Holy Spirit gives us abilities. The Holy Spirit is our protector, and the Holy Spirit is our teacher. There's many others that I just wanted to give us a base understanding to really jump off into the passage. I know you're like, man, you preached like 15 minutes on an introduction. I know, all right? And so I wanted to give us a really important idea for us to shape. So let's look at verse 9, okay? Paul says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone does not have the Spirit of God, does not belong to him. Paul begins with a writing change. It's important for us to understand that. He had been writing in third person and more of a general idea in beginning of chapter 8. But now he says, you. He's saying, hey, you. Who's he talking to? One, he's talking to Roman Christians, Gentile and Jews, that have confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've confessed their sins and believe that Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again. He was a perfect sacrifice and is one day going to return for his bride, the church. They are sons and daughters, as verse 14 describes. So he's talking to Christians. And so if you have confessed your sins, you believe that you are a sinner, broken, separated from God. Yet God in his great mercy and his great love sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for your sins, for my sins. And he rose again 3 days later, lived a perfect life. That is how you become a child of God. That's the good news, the gospel. That's who he's talking to. He's talking to believers here, okay? That's what he's saying, you. However, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It very much ties and talks about chapter 7, that battle that we all fight, the flesh and the spirit. That's a daily conflict in each of our lives. And so now Paul is saying, hey, don't live in the flesh. Live in the spirit. Your identity, your future, your decisions, your even past. You've been forgiven of your past, your present, your future sins. It's all in the spirit. And so live in it. Paul is setting a requirement for the indwelling. I know that's a big word, and I'm going to explain it here in a second, of the Holy Spirit at the event of salvation, the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians gives us this clear understanding in Ephesians 1. He says, in him you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, just walk through what that gospel was, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That salvation, you were sealed. That's why when I said you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God lives in you. Verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And so we have been given, we've been promised as well as guaranteed the Holy Spirit, the permanent indwelling for us. You say, when did that happen? Well, Jesus describes the coming of the Holy Spirit in John 14, where ultimately it would come in Acts 2, somewhere right around there. And so you look and see the pouring out of the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost, where many are saved. And so an incredible, incredible event. And so the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into our world, ones that come after Jesus. And now the permanent indwelling was promised. Prior to the giving of the Holy Spirit, it was selective indwelling. You're saying, what is that? Well, it was more given for a task or for even a battle. And you look and go, why did God do some of these things? I want to ask God the same question. Sometimes I look at some of the men and women in the Old Testament. You go, God, like, why did the Spirit of God come on in that moment? You look at some of the interactions of Samson, and you go, God, I don't understand. Why did the Holy Spirit come in this moment? And so I describe some of the descriptions of the Holy Spirit coming and equipping men to build the tabernacle or build the temple or preach messages or do certain healings. And so you can see much of that in the Old Testament. But Paul in Romans chapter 8 is setting a requirement that the Spirit of God dwells in you as a believer. If the Spirit of God does not, you are not. You're saying, well, that's, how do I understand that? Well, how do I know that? I'm trying to discern and figure that out. I can see this very, very clearly. All you have to do is point, have I confessed my sins and believed in my heart that Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again? That's how you know if you have the Holy Spirit in your life. That is very clear. Titus 3, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness. Like, why does this tie? Well, it's not our righteousness. It's what Christ has done. But according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so we look and see the very giving of the Holy Spirit. But as we see and understand this, Paul is writing to these Christians and describing this spirit that lives inside of them. But we must also understand there are evil spirits out there. There are evil spirits that we battle against. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Spiritual warfare is a real thing, okay? And so you can read the rest of Ephesians chapter 6, tells us to put on the full armor of God as we realize we are in the battle, speaking the word of God is the sword. And so we must understand this. But I don't believe, as we see, as one that is filled with the Holy Spirit can be possessed by a demon. However, I think they can be oppressed by demonic forces. I think that is a real truth that we can see. And so we must understand, as you as believers, there is a battle of spiritual things in our lives, in and around us. And so I wrote this in my notes, and I just felt led to do this. And you're thinking, well, this doesn't have a ton of what you want to preach. But I just realized spirituality is at an all-time high right now. In the last 25 years, it's actually upticking. It really is. But it's not necessarily in the things of the Holy Spirit. It's in the idea of spiritual things, where this the ideas of old folklore or demonic things are at an uprise. I was in a antique store this last week, and so I like antique stores. I like buying old junk, and so some of you are like, I do too. So, and so I was in there, and they had a whole booth of crystals in an antique store. And the store was, I don't remember, it was like Wanda's Witch Shop or something like that. I made up the Wanda, but it was a W. I don't remember what it was. But it was like, really, in an antique store. I couldn't, I was like, well, I'm going to avoid that area. And so, plus it smelled really, really weird. And so, but I'll say this, as Christians, as believers, it's important to avoid things like that. It really is. It really is. I'll give you, as your pastor, as one that loves you, man, you should avoid fortune tellers, crystals, tarot cards. There's a fad growing now of Christian tarot cards. I'm like, throw those pieces. No, I'm throw those things away, right? Like, what are we doing? Like, demonic forces, witchcraft. I'll say this, demonic movies. Like, you're inviting things into your life. Like, you have formative, like, brain cells. You have kids, you have teenagers, and I'm like, wow, you're like getting on it. You like scary movies. I'm like, I don't do scary movies, but I also, you can, like, there's some whacked out movies now Hollywood is making. Demonic forces that you're allowing in your life. So realizing that there are things of the spirit and there are things of the flesh. And so I'll say this to you, be careful. Be careful what you allow your eyes. Be careful what you allow to be intake into your life. It's important. It's an important thing because there is a spiritual battle around you. And so Paul, in verse 8, is describing, hey, you, if you are a believer, you have the Spirit of God in you. He dwells in you. But then he continues in verse 10, but if Christ is in you, he's talking to the Christians, this flesh versus the spirit again, the spirit of God, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. I love this passage. The older I get, I love this passage more and more because I can understand it. You're saying, why? Well, this describes aging in our life. Like, really? Yes. Although the body is dead. I turned 40 last year. I turned 41 last week. And I really feel my body is starting to die. Okay? All right? And some of you are like, just wait. I understand. All right? It's not the age. It's the miles. Right? And you're like, I can understand. Like, oh my goodness. Like, these things are starting to hurt that shouldn't hurt. Or I can't even figure out what I did. And now if you sleep bad, you are in trouble, right? It's not like a couple hours. It's a week process now. Like, my shoulder doesn't work right now because I slept on it. It's just life, right? But you can see this. This is this passage right here. The body is dead. It's falling apart. Things are not working. Why? It's not the way God created us. Bible describes God created us in what? His image. In a perfect image of God. But what entered into this world? Sin. Through one man's sin, death entered into the world. Destruction, hurt. And that is why our bodies are dying. The Bible describes all creation is groaning. All creation is groaning for the return of Christ. Why? Because that will be the ultimate death of death. It's the end of death. And so as our bodies are really, and you're like, really, this happens? Yeah, they're beginning to break down. Newsflash for some of you. They all said, just wait till you turn 40. I understand now, okay, all right? But Paul says, because of sin, our bodies are dead. The spirit is life because of what? What's the next word? Come on, what's the next word? Righteousness. That's important. That's important. Okay? That righteousness doesn't come from you and I. That righteousness doesn't come from anything we can qualify or any good we can do in this world. That righteousness is not from you and I. That righteousness is from Jesus Christ alone. That is so important. That is a foundational truth for us as believers, us as the you that are described in verse 9. The you is described. We are made righteous. That's why it's important as we've preached through Romans to understand how we can be justified by what? The righteousness or the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He became, and I taught this a few weeks ago, the propitiation, our replacement. He took the punishment of God because of our sin and stepped in, and we can become righteous by what God has done through the work of Jesus. That's so important. And I really, if I could just keep preaching that over and over and over and over and over again, it's something that a truth we must grasp and understand because it changes everything. It really does. It's not something flipping and go, oh, good, I made my righteous by Jesus Christ. No, the righteousness of God was offered to me. It was offered to you. That's just mind-blowing. That's something that should like, oh my goodness, I can't even grasp or understand that. I'm so humbled by it. I don't even understand why. I don't deserve this. But that's what should change about understanding the grace. That's why I love that quote is we begin to go, wow, spiritual maturity is not knowing I don't need more grace. No, it's spiritual maturity is going, God, I can't even understand your grace. I can't even grasp why you've done this. And yet God has offered us his righteousness. We'll talk about next week as sons and daughters of God. He's offered us as heirs. He's offered us that free righteousness of God. It's amazing. I read Titus 3. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. Like our righteousness is what? Our works are filthy rags, the Bible describes. But according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. There it is. Righteousness poured out. And so I this verse, as I begin to think about this, it begins to change everything, or it should. It begins to change everything. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. The spirit changes how we view life on this earth, or should. It should. The Holy Spirit should give us a different perspective. I was reading this week of a testimony of someone that received Christ. They said, I can remember the day that it was like a light switch turned on. Everything I began to view began to change. Things began to look differently. He wrote, I began to see in color. And I love that description. Some of you that were saved recently, it's like a fire was lit inside of you. I love it. And you begin to see, wow, things begin to change. The sad truth of it is for others that have been saved for 20, 30, 40, 50, you make up the years, it begins to become old news a little bit. Well, can I say this to you? Maybe today is a regeneration moment, not to be saved again, but a new perspective to say, wow, I need to get back to the point of the Holy Spirit has begun to show me things that I never saw before. When I was dead, now I've been made alive by the work of Jesus Christ. He made me righteous, and now I see people different. I see events different. I see difficulties different. That's what James says, count it all joy. That's a change, right? Most of us go, oh man, bad things are happening. What'd you do to upset God? Come on, that's the truth. Rather than, what is God doing? What's God doing? What's God like, those begin to change. And so the difficulties, the things that we look and get all frustrated and upset with that happen on this earth, maybe God is doing something. It'll change everything. That's what this verse does. It will change everything of how you view on this earth. The Holy Spirit gives you the glasses to do that. One of my first messages I ever preached, some of you were here, I'm sorry it was terrible, I'm sure, but I handed out 3D glasses. Handed out 3D glasses, and it was a perspective change. And some of you have showed them, you've kept them years later in your Bible. I love that because it's putting on the glasses of the Holy Spirit. I begin to see things different. The next one, and this is a difficult one. This is one I struggle with. The Spirit not only changes how we view things on this earth, but the Spirit also changes how we view death. How we view death on this earth. The Spirit changes how we view death on this earth. Man, this is a difficult one. Is because for us, I'll lump myself and some of you in there. Anthony, you'll help me with this one. Us that love to control everything, okay? All right, I want all the details and I want all the no's. Just give me the schedule and I want all these times and everything. This is a hard thing because these are moments we can't control. And so we go to ourselves and go, all right, God, well, you just give me the appointment times. You put it in my phone. I don't even know how it got there, but it'll be helpful for me. But that's not how it works, right? I wish it was. And so I have this conversation with a friend of mine. She describes the death of her grandma as one of the special moments in her life. And I always say, I don't understand why. She goes, really? Because I say this, I hate death. I really do. It is something I really struggle with and battle with. Going, God, this is terrible. But the reality is, the death of a saint, someone that knows Jesus Christ, is there's no sting. There's no hurt. They are seeing in the very presence of God. That's what the Spirit of God allows us to see. That's what 1 Thessalonians says, comfort one another with these words. And so there's no like, oh my gosh, this is like, they're a child of God. They're in the very presence of God. They've graduated way beyond this place. And so they don't deal with the sorrow. Psalm 116 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. I love that passage because it begins to give a new perspective. You tie that to Romans 8:10. Yeah, the struggles. Yeah, the difficulty. Yeah, we may feel the death, but my inside is being made new every day and beginning to be stronger because it is eagerly anticipating to see God face to face. Man, what a perspective. Recently, I'd say one of the great theologians of this day, one of the great preachers, John MacArthur, passed away. John MacArthur, man, should know the Bible, teach the Bible. He was a little harsher than I would have been, and that's light, but he's a human being, okay? And so he's not perfect, he's not Jesus, not close, but man, could teach and understand the Bible in ways that I could maybe, no, I can't even get close, just let me, it's just incredible. Recorded his last words. I thought it was so cool. I don't know, some of you may have read this. He says, I feel no sting. I feel no fear. I thought, what a perspective. See, he saw things differently in this world. Now he'll see things differently in his death because he knows once he shuts his eyes, the next time he opens, he'll see Jesus face to face. I'm like, wow, what a perspective. What a change. See, the Spirit changes how we view life on this earth. The Spirit changes how we view death on this earth. And I'll say this, the Spirit changes how we view eternal life. It's longing for heaven, teaches, shapes. As John finishes up Revelation chapter 22, he testifies to these things saying, surely I am coming, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. What a change. Spirit is life because of the work of Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 11, just quickly. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This is the only spot in Paul's writings where he describes or references the spirit raising Jesus from the dead. All others, he references God or the Father raising him from the dead. So this is a distinction. But ultimately, we know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are three in one. But Paul in this passage is describing the spirit of him raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. And that is simple truth. I don't even need to follow that up with illustration, with idea. That truth alone will preach. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Ultimately, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, raised Jesus from the dead, and you as a believer, you as a child of God, will be raised to dead by that same power, the same gospel, the same righteousness that Jesus was raised. You and I as followers, as sons and daughters, as believers, as children of God, will be raised by that same Holy Spirit. That's an incredible truth. 2 Corinthians 3, the Spirit gives life. John 6:63, Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. And Jesus, man, it is so great. How lockstep that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, three in one, in unity, proclaiming that good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping us come to righteousness are so incredible. And so for us, shaping us, molding us, guiding us, the very Spirit of God lives inside of you. It's been promised. It's a guarantee. I read this quote. Honestly, I had a whole different close written, and I read this quote late last night or maybe early this morning when, oh, this is so good. Because I think as we begin to see that tie to Romans 7, that tussle, that conflict of flesh and spirit in us. We begin to make decisions and struggle with our decisions or struggle with our failures or stumble and begin to go, God, this is of the flesh. I desire to live a victorious Christian life. I desire to follow you. I desire to do all these things. And yet I continue to keep stumbling. And we begin to see this tussle, this fight, this battle. I read this quote by J.C. Ryle. I thought it was so good. And I hope it encourages you this morning. It encouraged me as I begin to prepare to preach this message. The fact that you have a struggle is evidence the Holy Spirit is motivating you to resist. See, the world has no struggle. They just indulge. But you have a fight. Because the Spirit of God is still working on you. I read that and I was like, okay. Okay, God. Yeah, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. But God, your great grace and your mercy loves me. Yeah, there's a resistance, there's a fight, there's a conflict in me. There's a struggle every day. But God has promised the Holy Spirit to walk with me, to guide with me, to protect me, to convict me, to teach me, to shape me, to mold me, to ultimately seal and guarantee my salvation, my eternal life. It's changed how, it should change how we view one another. It should change how we sing. It should change how we preach. It should change how we do our job tomorrow. It should change how we interact with our wife, with our husband. It should change how we interact with other people around us, our neighbors. It should change every experience we go, God, what are you doing? I know your very spirit is with me through this, and I don't have to fear because I know you're walking with me. That spirit is with me. It doesn't matter what life, that flesh, that death throws at me, because God has given me his spirit. And so in that turmoil, in that fight, in that battle, I began to go, wow, God, give me the ability, not on my own merit, not on my own abilities, not in my own righteousness, but in yours. There it is, in your righteousness, to be able to resist, to be able to fight, to be able to handle the very conflict. And so you may feel overwhelmed by the things of this world. Can I be honest with you? There's a lot of days I do. There is. There's a lot of days that, man, anxiety, depressions, things that I remember we talked last week, things that are in here most people don't want to know, right? That's for all of us. But the truth of the matter is, as we begin to read these passages and understand, is God, he's won the victory. He's overcome so that you and I could overcome. That's the end of Romans 8. You're more than a conqueror. I'm not going to preach it today. I want to. We'll get to that in a couple weeks. Through Jesus Christ. And so we study this. We understand this. And look at, wow, God, you have given us your spirit. The very person of God. What a great promise. But it's more than a promise. He lives in us. Gives us the ability to navigate today, tomorrow, the future, whatever that flesh brings. Hopefully that encourages you this morning. God, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. Thank you for this morning. God, I don't know if I say it enough. Thank you for giving us your spirit. God, may we yield our flesh, our desires, our control, our thinking of what we want the future to bring to your spirit, God. God, as we look and study the Holy Spirit, as we see these descriptions, these details, these attributes, God, I become overwhelmed with your goodness, because ultimately it's changed how I view what's going on in this world, how I view the difficulties, how I view the death of the saint, how I view eternity, God, because in the Spirit you give life, life abundantly, you guarantee it. God, I thank you for that. We praise you. We love you. We glorify you. Thank you for being here this morning, God. We honor you. We praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.